Welcome back to Broken Fuse Podcast. This is episode 57, October 28th, 2016. It's been a couple months since we've been on air, and today's topic is going to be, well, it's going to be pretty much all Nintendo. Biggest topic we have tonight is Nintendo Switch. It just got announced, and what have you been playing recently, Harley?
I haven't had much time to play anything, but I've been meaning to really get back into some online gaming. So with, I guess, Heroes of the Storm, that's what my coworkers are playing, and I really want to get back into it so I can join them. I've been playing, I think on my phone, I've been playing Boom Beach, which I don't know if it really counts as playing, because I'm just like, I don't know, it's like a routine now. I just log in, kind of do some stuff. And then on, Pokemon...
Shuffle or Go?
Yeah, Pokemon Shuffle, yeah. So I'm finally at level 165, that level, and I can't beat it because my guys aren't max level yet, but I'm eventually going to get there. But yeah, that's what I've been doing. I know you've been pretty busy as well, so I can't imagine logging too many hours.
Yeah, I've been playing a bit of Dota this week since I have a break between classes this week. And let's see, what else? Knights of the Old Republic on my phone. Works a little bit better with a Bluetooth controller, but it's still worth checking out on a phone if you do have a Bluetooth controller.
Wow, Kodor on phone.
Yeah,
I guess it would work on your phone, but like, yeah. I feel like it's something that I can't really play on like my phone. Like, you need a pretty big screen to
I would say at least a 5-inch screen would work, but six inches barely acceptable. Yeah. I would say it would probably play better on a tablet that has an 8 to 10 inch screen at least.
Yeah, but I mean, speaking of screens, I mean, if you want to, let's just dive right into it. The Nintendo Switch, it's got a 6.2 inch screen. I'm reading this here.
Yeah, rumored 6.2 inch.
Yeah.
What we know,
720p.
Yeah. Some of the things that we do know is a March 27 release. It's a custom NVIDIA Tegra chip. Cartridges, no backwards compatibility with 3DS or the Wii U. The dock that was shown in the trailer is for power and TV output. It's a handheld console hybrid. The Joy-Con, which is the two detachable sides for the tablet. There's a Switch Pro controller that looks surprisingly like a Xbox 360 controller or the Wii U, the Pro controller for that. There's a 3.5mm audio jack. Touchscreen capabilities, they haven't really confirmed it, but there are rumors that I think it's a 10-point multi-touch. Let's see. It was briefly listed on Tesco, which is a UK site, for £350. So that translates to about $450 US price tag. Although I'd like to see it get bumped down to $350 US.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, though, with the exchange rate being what it is right now, I don't foresee us getting a really great price. It's going to be unfortunate, I feel, because at least to my recollection, you know, if you're going to charge $500 for a console, like, I don't ever remember, like, as a kid, like, there weren't that many people that, like, little kids that would get, like, $500 consoles.
Or the equivalent, at least.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that said, obviously people are really into technology, and, like, you know, third graders have iPhones now, so it might be different. But the main thing is just, you know, your target audience. If you're pricing it at a certain price level, it's unlikely that you're going to have, I feel like a lot of kids probably won't grow up with these kinds of things just because they won't have access to them until they're like, you know, it's not like, you know, they'll probably be playing like in grade 5, grade 6, middle school or whatever, but you're definitely not going to have like first graders or second graders getting into it. And I think that's kind of sad, because I think that's when, I mean, we didn't have, what do we have?
With the SNES. Game Boy.
With
the Game original Boy, Game Boy.
Had, yeah.
And the SNES back in the day. When we
The N64 came out when we were in, like, grade one, or...
It's about 20 years old now, I think, the... 20 or 25 now.
No, it's more than that. Definitely, like, by the time grade 2 hit...
Because SNES came out in 92, I think, or somewhere close to that.
Maybe it's a little bit later then. Maybe it's a little bit later. But anyways, like, before the end of grade school, like we were on it, Crash Bandicoot and whatever, so...
Yeah,
but like,
SNES was 1990, so it would have been, like, probably 5 years later, like, 96-ish, that...
Yeah, so grade one, grade two, around that.
N64, 1996.
Yeah. So, like, right now, I mean, I know that little kids have DSs, but very few people have, like, very few little kids. And it's kind of weird, because, like, I guess we're at the age now where, like, people have children, and so, like, they're not, like, that old, but, like, if they're, you know, the ones that had kids a little bit earlier or a little bit older than us, they'll have kids that are, like, you know, they're at the age where they can actually play games. And I know very few of them actually have consoles. All of them either, like, everybody just plays on their smartphone, or they play on an iPad, and usually, like, they'll just give their kid, like, their old phone or whatever, and then put some games on there, and that's what it is now. And I feel like, you know, you can't really get the same premium titles, you know, with that you get from Nintendo, or even from, like, you know, like Sony.
Or even any major publisher.
Microsoft, yeah. So, like, you can't get... Although, I mean, with Microsoft, most of the games... I don't know. Most of the games that are worth playing are probably, when you're younger, probably, like... probably under Nintendo.
Nintendo, Sony... A couple of third parties.
Well, Sony, not... I don't know.
Not so much anymore, but, like, back in the 90s.
Yeah, they don't have anything now. Like, everything they have are, like, pretty... It's pretty, like... well, it's definitely, mature. Like, pretty... Yeah, exactly. And same thing with... Well, Microsoft's always trying to target a more mature audience, despite the fact that little kids still play their games.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just... I always feel like it's always a sad story with price level. Like, I feel like when you price out a certain demographic, like, it just changes... The whole thing, like, the people, if you don't grow up with it, you're not as attached to it, and I don't know. Like, but yeah, you're right. The it's likely gonna be over $500 Canadian, and then it really should be under, like you said. Yeah.
Yeah, there is a rumor that there will be a bundle for around $400 US.
Yeah. Do you know what that bundle includes? Like, how does it work? Are those, like, if you get an extra controller, is it, like, you get multiple, multiple screens, or, like, how does that work?
I think, like, the screen itself is, the tablet itself is a console, which docks into the TV dock. I'm guessing that the extra controllers are going to cost more, obviously, but I'm thinking the cradle will be included in the bundle, like what they did with the Wii U, possibly. You remember, the cradle for the Wii U gamepad only came with, from what I remember, came with a higher priced console, which was an extra $50 or something like that, and came with the game.
Yeah. Okay, at what point, like, okay, do you think that... Okay, what do you think of the new controller, first of all? And what do you think will be the... how shall we say this? Like, okay, do you think that... Is it going to be like the Wii U where, like... I guess, like, you have distinct roles when you're playing certain games? Like, the Wii U is backwards compatible, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. This is obviously a brand new... it's not going to be backwards compatible, at least to our knowledge. But do you feel like... Is it ever going to be a situation where... Do you think that there's going to be multiplayer based on... The pictures they're showing with the controllers right now?
Yeah.
Like, do you think there's going to be multiplayer? Let's put it this way. If you don't have the console, if you don't have the dock, can you have multiplayer, like, on the go?
Yes, you can pull off the Joy-Cons, and apparently you can have two people on one screen.
It's two, right?
Okay. Yeah, what we can see right now from the Mario Kart videos that they've shown.
Okay.
So, and there's going to be local multiplayer between players. So let's say you have two people on each console, and you'll have like four consoles at one place. You'll have eight player battles on.
Yeah, like, I mean,
Mario Kart or possibly even Smash. Like, we've had eight player Smash before, and that's pure chaos, but so much fun.
Oh yeah, definitely. So like, one of the things that I'm I want to point out the resemblance to the PlayStation Portable.
Vita.
The Vita, yeah, exactly, yeah. It's those are great products, by the way, so very, in my books anyways.
Yeah.
So I really like where this is going.
Yeah, it's a little bit underappreciated due to many reasons.
Yeah. So I feel like if Nintendo's got this and they release some titles, actually support it, not like what Sony did with the Vita. Definitely this is something that's I think it's worthwhile. My concern, okay, so right off the bat, what do you think the battery life's going to be?
I think 3 hours would be reasonable.
Okay. Honestly, at like 3 hours, I totally like, yeah, it would be reasonable, but I would be thoroughly disappointed.
Yeah.
Because like, okay, you know how like the DS is like 3 hours, but then if you really crank it, you're not going to get that.
Oh, and the 3DS was 4 hours.
Sorry, yeah, sorry, not
3DS
the DS
is 4 hours.
3D, yeah,
The
DS Lite was amazing.
It was like 8 to 10 hours.
It was amazing. DS Lite, if you turn down the brightness, you could play, like, you could get like a solid 20 hours out of it. Like if you, I guess it also depends on what game you play, but
yeah.
Like, I remember, like, I would, like, basically never charge my DS. The 3DS, very disappointing. And the one thing that, like, with batteries is that they age, right? So, like, if 3 hours is the best, then, like, you know, with you putting it on the dock and off the dock and, you know,
it's
whatever.
It's going to tank so
it's
hard.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, 2 years down the road. You're probably it's gonna be shit. Like you probably can't even get an hour out of it.
Yeah. So the thing is, with Nintendo batteries, you can take off the back panel and replace it yourself with the older consoles.
Okay.
You see the 3DS, the DS, like even with the old Game Boy Advance DS, SP, take off the back panel and replace the battery yourself.
Yeah. So the what I don't get is why. Like, why don't they just put a better battery in there? Like, why can't they, you know, like, it's a 720p screen, okay? I can't imagine it having more processing power in terms of, like, graphics processing than, like, a top-tier smartphone. Or a top-tier, like, if not a smartphone, like a tablet, right? Like, I can't imagine, because... Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, at best, it's really, like... It is essentially a tablet.
Yeah.
So, we have tablets that have, I don't know, like, 10 hours of battery life. Or, like, 6 hours or 7 hours of continuous playback. And it's 1080p or higher, like 2K.
Yeah.
So, I really, really hope that they put a sick battery in there. And that it has, like, I'm looking, like, I want it to be basically 5-6 hours at least of continuous play. And then, like, real usage, probably, like, you know, you can probably get, like, a solid 8 hours out of it. So, like, a full working day. But I just don't feel like they always crap out on the battery. And I think the battery is, like, one of the most important parts of it, you know?
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to sell its mobility and all that stuff. So, like, that's my, like, the greatest concern out of everything is just really battery. Because, like, we know what titles they're going to release. Like, we have a pretty good idea of what, like, they're obviously going to release some pretty sick titles like they do every time. Like, when the Wii came out, there were some it got some pretty like premium titles sent to the GameCube, the Wii U as well. Although I don't have one, so I don't really recall what titles came out. Yeah. But like for the Switch, they're definitely going to release like some premium tier one titles. Promote you buying the console for sure.
Do have a few games that they have confirmed so far. Zelda Breath of the Wild cross launch with it's going to be on the Switch and the Wii U. Dragon Quest 11, Project Sonic 2017, and Just Dance 2017. Those are confirmed titles as of right now. There's a couple games that were shown in the trailer, but they have not confirmed yet. Is a Super Mario game, Mario Kart, some kind of remastered Skyrim, Splatoon, and NBA 2017. So they do have third-party support right now.
Yeah, and did you mention Splatoon?
Yeah, Splatoon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So yeah, that was one of the games that they actually featured in the trailer, but
nothing confirmed as of yet. But knowing Nintendo,
it's definitely going to be there for sure. Like they showed it in the trailer, it's going to be there. It's just
not confirmed as of right now, but it's most likely going to show up sometime in the first. I'm guessing the first year and a half.
Yeah, for sure. Well, they better. I mean, otherwise, like it would really, really suck if you show something and then just not like, oh well, that was just for the commercial. No, it's going to be there. It's going to be there. But the battery. It's just going back to it all. Like if you can't like look, if the battery life ends up sucking, I'm not going to use it from a portable perspective. It's not going to be a portable console for me. It's going to be
It's supposed to be kind of a spiritual successor to the Nvidia Shield, and I've just looked up. I've just looked it up. Battery life for the Shield, they claim that you'll get 10 hours of watching and surfing the web.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing if it's anywhere close to the battery life on that, because it uses a similar chip. Yeah. I'm guessing maybe 8 hours of like 5 to 8 hours of surfing, you might get 4 to 6 hours of gaming out of it.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. So I mean, I definitely need it to be like it. Like it has to be. If they don't, I mean, honestly, they're making. So as most people know, like Nintendo is not known for putting the most expensive hardware or whatever. Yeah. So like usually it's a lower powered chip. And usually it's, on the screen, 720p, which for Nintendo is amazing because they haven't had, I don't think, anything that's 720p in any of their handhelds. And then...
like the 3DS, which is their highest res handheld, is maybe a quarter or a third of that resolution.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's not a particularly powerful system. Like I can't imagine it having a lot of RAM or anything like that, so like it's not expensive. It's not a hardware heavy kind of, not like a PlayStation or anything that like an Xbox. It's not substantial like in that sense, but Nintendo makes really good use of what they have, of what little they have in hardware. So one of the things that I feel like they should do is like having that, like, so for example, if Sony made something similar, the specs would be ridiculous. Like it would have like the best processors, like a 2K or a 4K screen. And then, basically at that point you'd be like, well, okay, we don't have a battery that's good enough to power something like that for 10 hours, but we totally have a battery that can power that for like a solid 10 hours. So Nintendo better get on it and like make sure that they're putting in a quality battery, not a quality, but like a big battery. Because their batteries are good. It's not like they crap out or anything. Yeah. But, like, it's just, I feel like a lot of times they cheap out on hardware. Like, their units are really cheap to make. So, like, I don't understand.
They rarely sell at a loss. I can't remember the last time that I've read up.
No, they always sold. Everybody else was selling at a loss, and then they would, they killed it.
Yeah.
The Wii was
They sell, like, at par or slightly profitable units. Every time.
No, and specifically for the Wii, it was extraordinarily profitable because it was very cheap to make.
Yeah, and it was selling 2-to-1 compared to like every other console for the first 3 years.
Yeah, and Even for handhelds as well, they used so like a lot of the screens that they used were not like they actually had like this was a thing where like they broke apart like a 3DS and they looked like the components, and a lot of it was borrowed from like essentially parts that were from like previous generation smartphones, and they used those as cost savings to really kind of bring in like really high quality parts. But because you don't need the horsepower, you can just put it in, like, use some older parts, you know, put it into to your system and still get everything running and yeah. get it at a fraction of the price. So they definitely can do it. It's just whether or not they're going to. And the other thing yeah. is, like, I feel like there's not enough emphasis on these kinds of things like battery life or, like play, like just general, like, playability. Like, for example, I don't know if you remember, but the Wi-Fi on the Nintendo Wii was not the best. It was like it would have like we, I don't know, it would just be spotty sometimes.
I think and that mostly had to do with Nintendo's servers.
Servers? Okay, was yeah. it servers more than okay?
It was the servers more than the Wi-Fi itself, I think.
Okay, well, I say that only because like I tried. Did you try surfing the web on your Wii?
Yeah, it was not like, fun.
Exactly. Okay, so maybe that might be hardware as well, but yeah. I don't know. I think that might be certain.
It's a combo of slower, older hardware, and also yeah. if you're connecting to their servers, it can be balls. A bit spotty. Because yeah. I remember the yeah. first like 2 or 3 months of Smash Brawl,
we couldn't play. Like we tried playing. I remember like every day we'd just be like, "Oh shit!" Like there's so much lag, and then yeah. we couldn't like, yeah. So
like I had a wired connection at that point, and I still I could that. Barely yeah. play it.
Yeah, so definitely not, you know, they got to put a little more, I think, attention into these kinds of, it's like the finer points, right? Like,
yeah.
stuff that people don't really care that much about, I care a lot about. Like, most people just care about titles, oh, how good the controller is or whatever. Like, I care, I don't know, just like functional aspects of it. But, yeah. But okay, the other thing is, okay, so gaming, like, we know, we have very limited knowledge of it. But do you feel like this is going to be a media center?
Not a huge media center. Nintendo has never done like really a media-centric console, even with the Wii U.
Had the horsepower yeah, to do it, yeah.
Has the horsepower. I still use it for Netflix, Crunchyroll, YouTube.
Yeah.
It's not great for it, but it does the job. But it's not going to be the centerpiece for multimedia because it doesn't play Blu-ray. And if I'm going to be playing like Blu-rays and DVDs, I'm going to be using either my computer or my PlayStation
yeah.
for that.
Okay, so the way I see it, so like I feel like you're right. Nintendo's never done this, and I feel like it's not a well, it's a good idea for the past couple of systems, but I think for this one. Because they're trying to sell this as an all-in-one, like, I feel like it might be necessary to really kind of jump on that and really make it so that people can say, like, oh, okay, I'm going to replace my Apple TV with this. I'm going to replace, you know, my Roku or whatever, right? There's an opportunity there, and I think it's really awesome because if you think about it, like Netflix, you just, like, watch it on your TV, but then, boom, you got to get going. You pull that up,
yeah.
you start watching it in the car. So, like... Yeah. That's pretty sick. Yeah.
The thing is that it's Wi-Fi only, and there won't be unless you have a tether to your phone or to another device.
Well, okay, yeah.
At this point, you won't be able to.
Yeah. I figured. No, they're not going to put like a SIM slot into the. Yeah, no, no. That's not going to happen. But yeah, definitely a lot of tethering is going to be happening, and you know, even in the commercials, they don't show it, but the guy's tethering right when he's playing on the train, so. You know, it's definitely okay. What do you see as possible faults? What do you see that's really good? What are your thoughts on this?
My thoughts right now is that it's going to bring together a lot more people to play multiplayer.
Okay.
It's a pretty neat concept. Bringing in like both home and mobile together. I'm not sure if you remember, probably a couple years back, they merged their handheld and home console divisions into one unit. So this was probably the reason why they did that, too.
Do you feel like customers are getting shortchanged in the sense that there used to be like a console choice and then a mobile choice? Or do you feel like this is the evolution of where things are going?
I think this is where things are going to go for the next generation or two. Because, honestly, some games I'd rather be paying once to play, like Smash. I don't want to be paying for two copies of it, basically.
Even though we both have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because no, I have both the 3DS and the Wii U version, and it's like $100 right there to play one game.
Yeah,
exact same game.
Yeah, and
You're basically playing double the time to get all the unlockables.
Characters and everything. Yeah, exactly. I'm totally with you there, man. Like, I feel like this is, the consumer benefits from this. I think everybody, it's just a great move to have everything in one. I know for a fact, though, that there will be people that are going to be disappointed, because there are people that, I think we know that the portable gaming thing is now a lot bigger than...
Yeah.
So, like, when we were, like, younger, like, little, console gaming was pretty much, like, I think it was more dominant than handheld. Like,
It was like pretty much dominated by Nintendo and Sega until about 2000, and then it was Nintendo and Sony for a couple more years. After that, it was basically Xbox and... PlayStation after that.
Yeah, and so, like, the idea was always, like, okay, well, the best, like, it was always better to have a console. Like, growing up, it was always like, oh, like, you give it a console, like, you know, like, that was it. And, but then, like, now, because everybody's, like, on the go, and I guess, like, not a lot of people spend that much time at home anymore. And so, like, handheld gaming is a lot more popular. And so, like, I feel like so little kids, like they have handhelds, you know, just like we have handhelds, but they like they go home and they're still playing the handhelds, right? Because like you can play like you know, you have a network, you can play with your friends over the internet, right?
Yeah.
So like handhelds before, like we could not do that.
Yeah.
So then we had consoles that could do that.
Local
that
was multiplayer. Our first step.
But yeah. So we had local multiplayer, but then if you wanted to play like online, right? Like handhelds didn't. Online came for consoles first.
Yeah, that and was then, circa, like, 2000-ish. It was a few, like...
Yeah, and that's a distinct advantage. Yeah. Like, obviously, like, to play with your friends at home, like, holy shit. So, you're gonna, like, definitely play... Yeah, then console... Then, handhelds had wireless. Like, on the 3DS, I could play, like, wherever. I could play with you anywhere, like, basically
anywhere in the world, as long as you had Wi-Fi. Like, decent Wi-Fi.
Decent Wi-Fi, yeah, exactly. So then you're like, okay, so then, like... Basically, and then the titles that were on console, like for example, Smash, went on handheld, which was amazing because So handhelds have been pretty dominant. I feel like, you know, at this point, I think Nintendo has the right
idea
here. Yeah, definitely. I feel like it's really going to be how they execute it. I feel like that's really what it's going to come down to. I think the idea is great. I think. Some people, like business people, might be like, oh man, like, you know, you had two markets and then now you've just destroyed one or the other to create this like market in the middle. And but I feel like, you know,
I think this is a smart risk that they're taking.
Yeah,
because like a lot of us don't have the time to sit down and play at home. Sometimes we take our console, like our 3DS on the go, PS Vitas, play outside with friends.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah, especially, like, case in point is I've been commuting to and from school, which is, like, an hour each way. I've been touching my old DSi and my 3DS more often than all my consoles at home right now. Like, my PS3, my Wii U, my Wii, I haven't touched in probably about 2 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Since I started school.
You know, exactly. So you're playing on the train, you're playing on the bus. You know, it's definitely the right move. I'm interested to see, like, what their competitors are going to do, right? Like, what is Microsoft going to do? What is Sony going to do? You know, and I know that, like, the other reason why they're doing this is because there has been extreme success on the mobile platform and smartphones.
Yeah.
Definitely, like, I feel like this is not a direct competitor to a smartphone, but in many ways, I feel like
it is a similar market.
So smartphones now, they're starting to release some like serious titles where like very graphics intensive games, because this one, the technology on smartphones now can handle it, and also like I feel like it's just that people have confidence that smartphone games can make a lot of money, and so developers are willing to invest like tons of money to create these really high quality games. Like there are MOBAs coming, like 3D MOBAs that it's actually, this was a year ago, but like for example, if you like League of Legends or if you like Dota or whatever, you can play, like there are versions of it, not exactly League of Legends or Dota, but like there are developers who made like Vainglory was one of the first ones where like you could play on your tablet, which first of all is impossible because you can't micro with a touchscreen. But nevertheless, it has, like, we have the technology and the processing power to run these games. And so I think when you play, if you're in that market, it's definitely in direct competition. So, like, the Switch and smartphones are definitely direct competitors. Now, obviously, you know, the smartphones will have, like, other games, like Pokemon Shuffle, or, like, smaller games that you're just not going to play on the Switch, like, right? You're not going to buy
Candy Crush
a Switch.
Or, like,
yeah, exactly.
Bejeweled.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're not going to buy a Nintendo Switch to play Candy Crush. Like, no. So you know, in a way, they're kind of like, this Nintendo Switch is like, it's all-encompassing. And, I think it's really going to kind of change the market. Well, every Nintendo product always changes things.
It pushes, boundaries. Yeah. Not in the...
Yeah.
Usually not in the technology way, but how you play.
Never, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and I think... I think we're going to see like a huge TV. I actually don't think that Sony or Microsoft, they're going to follow in
like Nintendo's footsteps. Not this generation, at least.
Not that they ever have. They've never really. I mean, I think they're just. It's just going to be a different market now because they're focusing more on VR, right? So like everything is VR now for them, and I think that's where that's going to go. The next gen. It's just going to be improved versions of VR, improved versions of, like...
I think it's VR and motion control put together. Like, HTC Vive, I think.
Yeah.
Was like that with the VR goggles and controllers. I think they're going to start pushing that a little bit more. And, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how technology pushes that boundary as well.
Yeah. I shouldn't say what... I guess Sony did, I guess, fall in the footsteps of Nintendo in the sense that they did the whole motion controller thing way after, that's true of that. But like, I think right now, I don't think they're going to go this direction because they're too committed to VR, and this doesn't play in with VR, so it's just not going to happen.
It's a different market.
And I think I don't know. It's good, but I also feel like I don't know. I feel like I want to be a part of both, but.
It's hard.
I feel like I'm going to be a part of neither at this point, just because, like, I don't know, like, if it's not truly mobile, like, if it has a crappy 3-hour battery, I'm not getting it.
Yeah.
Even if it is, I still have to hesitate because I'm like, okay, first of all, it's like $500, $550 or whatever. It's pretty pricey. Second of all, I'll be like, okay, do I have time to play? Like, I don't commute. Like, I drive, so I don't have a... I commute, but like I don't commute by train, so I can't like play games or do anything, unfortunately. So it really doesn't work for me. But if things do change, then like obviously, yeah, I probably invest in one of these. But right now, I feel like I want to be a part of both. But like, man, when am I going to have time to sit down and VR for like an hour? Or like, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's a hard call to make.
Yeah, for sure. And Nintendo's always been known for doing their own thing as well. Like, back in... with the Wii, motion controls. The Wii U?
Oh, yeah.
That's added
that
tablet to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And...
Yeah, but, yeah, yeah, I mean...
They just paved their own way.
Yeah, That definitely Nintendo's always been very unique, and I think they realized very early on that from a hardware perspective, they just couldn't stay competitive, and from a pricing point of view, they were not in a position to sell consoles at a loss. So,
like Sony and Microsoft, they have other divisions to make up for the losses if it tanks.
It's like a side project, right? Especially for Microsoft.
Yeah, like they took a huge loss on the first-gen Xbox.
Yeah, they didn't do it with the expectation. Like, they were just like, okay, we want some of that market share and see where this goes. And it ended up being, you know, hugely successful. But Nintendo, like, this is all they got.
This is right? their so bread like, and butter.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's kind of interesting because, like, obviously Nintendo, you know, for those that know the history, it used to be, like, what? They used to make playing cards.
Hanafuda then, playing like, cards, yeah, they've done a few other things like Love Hotel, Taxi.
Yeah,
a few other things.
They have yes, but this they've kind of settled on this, and I don't you know they're more or less this is the primary source of their income, and you know they're not going to be able to kind of do the things that the competitors are doing. So they were like, okay, we got to be creative and find new ways to kind of make things appealing for our customers, and I think they've done a very good job now. So I feel like in the long run, like way, way, way down the road, like you're going to run out of like ideas, right? Yeah. Like eventually everything's going to converge and it's all going to be. And I think at that point, like the one thing that I want to see is like, I want to see like a fourth competitor come in. I want to see, I don't know, man, like Sega, I was always hoping that Sega would come back. But that's never happening.
It's not going to happen for a long time.
That's never happened. Yeah, exactly. Like,
Nintendo basically owns Sonic right now for the most part.
And then Sega basically, you know, they sold out, right? So like they looked at like, okay, what was the most profitable divisions, and they're like, we're going to keep these. Not profitable, which is basically everything that was in development mode, like consoles and whatever. They're like, screw that, we're not doing that. We're just gonna, you know, do what's profitable. And then at the end of the day, you know, it was just a downward spiral. They broke apart, and it's unfortunate. But like Steam is another one that might come into play, although the price. I don't know if you've looked into Steam boxes or the various Steam machines that they. It's just not affordable, right? So. They're basically the price of computers.
It's like $500 for one or somewhere around there.
Yeah, for a very basic one, right?
I can build a computer for a low end computer for that price in Canada, and our prices are higher too.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things. So I feel like with console prices going up, like. That's the other thing that I don't like about. So if they're, we don't know like right now, but if they're going to sell it for like, let's say $500, or $550 or whatever, $549, it's gonna be like, it's at the point where like I might just get a computer, right? Like one of the reasons why people bought consoles was because their computers were not that good, and to buy a gaming computer it would be thousands of dollars or like $1,000, and. Or it would require several hundred dollars of upgrades to your existing computer. So it's just easier to buy a console and know that for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years, I'd be able to play any title that came out.
Yeah.
But now with the way that, you know, now with like mid-cycle refreshes, right, the hardware gets upgraded during the mid-cycle refresh.
Which I do not like at all.
I don't like either because it fundamentally, you're basically punishing
your early adopters.
Exactly.
That's investing exactly in your product.
Yeah, and moreover, so the titles as well, like the subsequent titles that come out, even though they can be played on the original console, the performance usually isn't the same, and it hasn't been optimized. So it's almost like they're forcing you to buy the mid-cycle refresh, and there's all these like trade-in incentives and everything, not worth it. But you know, they're doing everything they can to make you buy two consoles per cycle instead of one, right?
So basically, it's every 3 years you're buying a new console instead of what the old cycle used to be 5-6 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and sometimes even longer, right? Yeah. Like yeah. So and now, like, you know, it's just annoying because, like, you have this, like, half step, and the half step also prevents them from doing backwards compatibility, which, you know, so, like, or not backwards compatibility, but, like, shared titles. So, like, you know how Twilight Princess is on, like it was on, like, GameCube as well as
the Wii,
yeah. So, like, I feel like in the future, if you have the half step, like, if you have the half console, the half generation refresh, it's basically going to be a title where you can play on the new console or you can play on the upgraded version of the previous console. So it screws the person that bought the first console and wanted to hold that until the next gen. So yeah,
I think that happened with the 3DS, I think Monster Hunter.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened. And, you know, again, they're just, like, they're doing everything they can to make you buy another console. That's what it is.
But then again, it actually got a moderate bump to performance and everything for the 3DS. Although I didn't really like the idea of needing to unbox one of my collector edition ones.
Oh, that was heartbreak, man. Yeah.
Though I got two of them, actually, so of the same one.
One's going to pay for the other one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that thing must be worth a lot now. Dang.
I think it doubled in price or close to it.
So, yeah, at least the last time I talked to you, it was already close to doubling in price. So
I think, yeah, the original Zelda one that I got, like, 4 years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
I probably got it for about $250. It's priced around high 400s, low 500s for most.
Okay. So it's kind of plateaued. Yeah, but
it's plateaued.
Nevertheless, like, double your money, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So it's like, so,
do I sell or do I keep? That's the problem sometimes with collector items.
You know what? I would... okay, so, like, this is how I feel like, you know, when the Switch comes out, if you can sell that and get the Switch, I would do it. You know, the reality is, like, the next step for that DS to that 3DS to be, like, super valuable, you're probably, like, it's the long game, man.
Yeah,
you're probably,
like, looking at 20 years later type of thing.
Yeah, and at that point, I don't know if, like, you might, you know, at that point, if I had it 20 years later, I don't think I would sell it.
Yeah.
I would just be like, okay, like, I just want to keep it. So, you know, right now, if you can get $500 for it, or trade it for a Switch, essentially, I'd probably do that. Get the enjoyment out of having a new console. That's probably the experience is probably worth more than the money, right? So
yeah.
So but yeah, well, I mean, obviously we'll have to see the price and we'll have to see where we are, but yeah, like, collector's edition. That's we were talking about this before. Like, yeah, this is better than any stock you've ever bought or like that we've ever, you know, looked at. But yeah. yeah, that thing's worth like $500 now. Yeah,
or 500 Canadian. Most of the prices, unless otherwise stated, are in Canadian dollars.
Yeah. Well, we'll do the conversion.
Yeah, it fluxes so quickly; it's not even worth converting.
Yeah, well, right now, but see, I'm reading up on like any sort of updates and really like nothing much. They have a website, doesn't really give you a whole lot. Yeah.
There's actually a press release they're doing January 12th for the Switch. So all the pricing, the full specs, and everything you need to know about it.
Yeah, looks good. I mean, it looks reasonable. I mean, they said production is not good. There won't be any production delays. There won't be any shortage like the Wii, like all of this.
Yeah.
Great, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah, because if you remember 2006, like you could walk into the store like 2-3 times a week and you'd barely see a Wii for like three or four months.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, you got yours.
Launch day, luckily. So I lucked out
so
hard.
Pure luck. Like that was just I waited a while and then I lined up for it eventually. But yeah, a lot of our friends, they had a much harder time.
Yeah, because the story behind how I got mine and how Alex...
Which is exactly the opposite. It was like the polar opposite of...
Yeah, yeah. I walked launch day, probably around 11 o'clock, walked into the EB Games, which is Canadian GameStop. Somebody asked for the Wii, second last unit, walked in, like, right after them, got to the last unit in the store. Our buddy Alex was looking for one for, it was probably about April of the next year before he got his, and he's still pissed at me for getting one on launch day without a pre-order. None of us pre-ordered, and we didn't expect it to blow up so quickly.
Yeah, we didn't even know what it was. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we did, but we didn't expect it to be this huge. Like, our buddy Alex, he basically saw one last unit in a Walmart probably about 1 or 2 months in.
Yeah.
Forgot his wallet at home. Went and asked the employee if they could hold for him. They said no. Came back, I think, 15 or 20 minutes later. Literally saw that last Wii walk out the door.
Walk out the store. Yeah, that was the best part. It wasn't even like, oh, it's not here anymore.
Yeah, he's just walked, literally
carrying it,
like at the cash register, checking out and walking out with the last unit.
Oh man! And then it would be like way a couple months before he got his.
I think it was another like 2 months after that before he got his.
Yeah, but no, like at the time, yeah. Well, we had no idea. Like everybody's like, oh, this is a new console, and then we're like, okay, like. Cool motion controls, but like, yeah, we had no idea that it would be
such a hit,
or like it would be, yeah, or the shortage of it, you know, like we always thought like, okay, like, you know, eventually they're gonna make more and they'll be fine, and then we didn't know that that was the strategy that they had, which was, you know, they did have a shortage, like legitimately, but then they realized, okay, well, like, you know, they built that into kind of their strategy, and that kind of became a thing with Nintendo. They're not playing it as hard now because they know that people are going to get pissed. But
yeah, it's a one-off type of thing.
It's a one-off type, yeah. And then they're doing more of it now with titles than the actual hardware itself.
Yeah, because like, if you don't grab a copy of a really popular game or a limited run, don't expect to see it. Unless you're paying over $100 for the same game.
And you know, I'm not a big fan of this because, you know, it's the people that go to the store and buy, like, 50 copies or whatever.
Yeah.
And they try to resell it on Kijiji or Craigslist.
Like, people are...
I hate those people.
Same thing that happened with Amiibos. There were limited runs. People scalped them like crazy.
Yo, I hate that. And the thing is, it's like... Okay. So, like, I don't understand how Nintendo benefits from this. Like, I know that they're artificially trying to drive up demand, but at the same time, it's like, you know that there are these, like, pricks that do these kinds of things. Like, just purely based on that fact alone, I would just be like, all right, no, screw this. I'm not buying into this certain game
yeah, or accessory.
I don't want that to, you know... And like, you know, when Smash Bros. Came out, everybody was like, oh, there's going to be a shortage. And it wasn't that bad. But there was all this hype around like how hard it would be to get a copy, and then people started like, so you could literally walk into the store and buy a copy, but then like people started buying it and then like selling it online for way more, and like even though you could like it was not in shortage, like you could just buy it, but like there would be people who didn't know, and then they would actually go and pay $100 for a game, and then like find out later that oh well I could have just walked in. Yeah, and then that feeling, like, that sucks. That's a really shitty feeling. So, like, I don't know. Just knowing that as a the producer, like, as the supplier, I would just be like, okay, like, I'm not going to supply it until I know I have enough stock. And if that's the case, like, I'll publicly announce that there is no shortage. Like, don't make up BS. Because that, like, you know, it's damaging to their brand as well, to their name, right? So
yeah, for sure.
So yeah, so I'm not about that, but I think we're over that phase, that like, you know, that growing phase. So hopefully it won't be the case here. I'm just looking up the it's March that they're going to release, right? Yeah,
it's always going to be a March release. It's confirmed a March release right now. They don't have an exact date. Is it early March, late March? We still don't know.
Okay.
Although so. I would say it would be probably about... It's going to be on a Sunday for sure for North America.
What? Like, yeah, you're probably right. Oh, they confirmed. So, yeah, no, I'm reading, what is this, Red Bull. So, competitive Splatoon is confirmed for Nintendo Switch. So, Splatoon is definitely going to be one of the titles, yeah. Yeah, insane, insane. All right, were there any other topics or talk points that you wanted to bring into this?
This... few specs thing. I think the most interesting one is apparently it's going to be at 1080p at 60 frames or 4K at 30 frames. That's I'm skeptical on the 4K, but the 1080 is definitely I see them doing for sure.
Yeah. Wait, what do you mean? Like the
when output, it's docked? Or? When it's docked.
Oh, when it's docked. Okay. Yeah, yeah. 1080. It should be 1080. The guaranteed output should be 1080.
Definitely 1080. Like, the honestly, 4K is... Not, I'm really whatever, skeptical man. About
how that. Many people actually have 4K TVs? Like, really? Like, I've looked at 4K TVs. Like, I've watched... I sat in the living room, and it's honestly... Like, unless you have 4K content...
it's not worth it.
It doesn't... Yeah, no. I know everybody's like, oh, no, it upscales. Like, you can... Like, 1080p looks better on 4K. Like, no, it doesn't. No,
it's like back in the day when we had... standard def upscale to 1080. It looks exactly. better, but it's not great.
No, and that was a like numerically, like quantitatively, that was a pretty substantial upgrade. Whereas from 1080p to 4K, even though the pixels are way more, I get that. But like from viewing it, it's not like. It's a negligible distance difference, especially when watching from like you know regular distance.
Yeah, you're unless like there's not enough things that produce like there are devices that you can buy right now that produce 4K, but it takes up a lot of memory, a lot of bandwidth if you're streaming.
Oh
it.
Yeah,
like most honestly, places.
The only time you need 4K is for VR. That's it.
Like most countries. Have internet caps.
Oh shit! Yeah, it's like we can't afford it, man. If you stream a 4K movie, you watch one like every weekend, you're screwed. You're done.
Most places are like 300 gigs, like 600 gigs cap. Plus, like even if you aren't capped, at you have an unlimited plan. A lot of them after a certain bandwidth slow you down.
Yeah, and then well. Yeah, you probably still get by watching like 1080p stuff, but you definitely,
Plus, like, a lot of places don't have really fast internet. Like, 30 down is decent, but I would not use 30 down to watch 4K. You'd have at least, like, 60, 100 down to watch it, like...
Yeah. No, we're definitely, I mean, I think, it's definitely going to be something like, if it's 720p, whatever, but it's definitely, it should be
it's totally fine. Like, at 6 inches, 720, it's totally fine. Like, 1080 on the big screen is perfectly fine as it is right now. Like, sure, I'd like 4K, but most people don't have 4K monitors.
Yeah, it's, you know... I honestly like I don't care like even with smartphones I guess you know this but like I don't care like a smartphone if it's like under 5 inches 720p not the end of the world it's fine 1080p great you know like I don't need 2K don't need you know
like 2K like unless you have like a tablet 8 to 12 inches then it might matter a little bit but really it's not the end of the world if you have a 1080p 10-inch tablet.
Oh yeah, definitely. But you know, overall, I think, you know, honestly, this is not going to be the thing that makes or breaks the console. I think the battery thing I talked about, because they're trying to sell its portability, and yeah, I really suffered with the Nintendo DS, the 3DS. I keep saying DS, but yeah, Nintendo 3DS. Like, poor battery life has, you know, really, really kind of affected how much I use that console, how much I play. You know, really, really, especially when I first started, I wasn't used to charging so often.
Yeah, like if you played every day, you're charging every single day.
Well, yeah, I mean, we got to the point where I remember, well, I didn't have a portable battery at the time, but you did. And I remember, like, you would always bring it with you, and then, like, in case we ran out of power,
you know.
But that became, like, a habit. Like, it shouldn't be. You shouldn't have to do that, you know. Not for just playing during the day anyways. So that's one thing. I keep going back to that, but it's just a pet peeve of mine, and I really hope they resolve it. The second thing being that, obviously, it's going to be the execution, right? Like, how well does that portable, like, controller work? How well does it work in its different modes? How well does multiplayer work? Like, those are the things that will really matter, right? Yes, but the tactical specs, it's Nintendo. Like, don't hold your breath.
They're usually a step behind for a tech.
Yeah, but it's fine. They fully... It's like... I shouldn't say this about iPhones, because everybody thinks that iPhones are super high-tech, but Apple basically, at this point, I mean, they put a lot of great technology into it, but, like, relative to a lot of Android phones, like, they're not... They're kind of behind in specs.
Yeah.
Like...
Great battery life, but they're...
Yeah. No, and okay, that's the best example. Like, their battery is definitively smaller than the vast majority of Android phones out there. But they can make really good use of it. Just like Nintendo makes really good use of their consoles. So, like, they'll be able to produce really good games using lesser hardware. Just like Apple, you know, gives you really good quality, a really good experience. And they're part... You know, I'm not saying, like, you know, they're... I don't want to say that they... don't have the best parts, but, like, there are Android, whatever iPhone comes out, like iPhone 7 or whatever, there's going to be an Android phone that has better specs. So,
for sure.
It'll have better specs, but it won't perform as well, or it'll perform about the same as the iPhone, and that's what it's known for, right? So, like, there's a Android phone with 8 gigs of RAM. Like, what the hell? Like, it's it's like a computer. But yeah, there's always an Android phone out there that's going to be superior to an iPhone, but yet the performance is always going to be the same. Just like Nintendo, there's always Sony and Microsoft are always going to have better hardware, but the, like, how much you enjoy the game is really going to be, I think, comparable.
Yeah,
I think that covers everything that we want to talk about, anyways.
Yeah.
But I guess. Let's check on time. Ooh, we're at an hour.
Yeah.
So I guess... All right, so
this will wrap up episode 57, and we'll see you soon.